We said that the one thing that we were going to focus on for last week and this week is doctrine of creation. God created the entire universe out of nothing. It was originally very good, and he created it to glorify himself. And we really got through the first point, and that being that the verses that we took a look at, nothing in the universe is eternal but God. And nothing can challenge God's sovereignty, independence, and worship that's due him. And then we also saw that, hey, you know what? God created for something, and therefore he gives meaning and purpose for our lives. And we took a look and saw that God created the universe out of nothing. He created Adam and Eve, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Trinity, were all involved in creation. So if you missed last week, there is a summary. We also took a look at this image that, again, I swiped all this stuff. All the information was A, out of the Bible, but B, also from Wayne Grudem and the book on systematic, is it titled Systematic Theology or Bible Doctrines?
It's Bible Doctrines.
Bible Doctrines. Yes, there we go. And next week we're going to talk about
communicable attributes.
Communicable attributes of God.
I'm like,
I know he knows what he's going to teach next week. But so, focusing on creation and things, and I know a number of you, I said hang on this week, it'll make more sense. But for what we're looking at, creation and our understanding of creation, we understand that creation is distinct from God, and we said that God's transcendence, that's the Webster definition, something that goes beyond normal limits, or the material word, it refers to qualities or concepts that surpass usual bounds, meaning they're supreme in excellence and extraordinary, and that, sure, God is transcendent, absolutely. And we know that God is the maker of everything, and therefore he's a ruler over everything. So usually the transcendence, we don't have a tough problem with. And it's the relationship part, God's relationship to us, and the fact that God is immanent. We don't usually use that word, but imminent, existing or remaining within something, referring to qualities, characteristics, or powers that are inherent, intrinsic, that imminent. And so creation is distinct from God, yet always dependent on God. We looked at a lot of scripture, but we didn't look at, obviously we can't look at all the accounts, but there's, right, account after account after account of how God is involved in our lives, in people's lives, in this world, in creation. So, yeah, Dan, we don't disagree with any of that. Okay, but thinking about creation and what happens if we get some of that wrong. What would go astray? And I hate when teachers spend time telling us what other people believe, because I don't care. I just want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. Yes, but we're going to spend just a little bit of time thinking about, okay, so a lot of folks say, you know what, there is no God. Well, okay, so when it comes to creation, if there is no God, then there's only, and yes, I removed the word creation and put universe because, well, if there's no God, then there's only the universe. And we're just running around in it for ourselves, right? And we're focused on whatever we can. And just those things that are real, the things that I can touch. That's the only thing that's real, Dan. I've had this conversation with folks at work. And if we just kind of summarize that, it really is a materialism or materialistic view. And just focusing on the things, because there isn't any God, so let's not worry about it. If there is no God, then he certainly can't have a relationship with us. Everybody here, I assume, doesn't believe that in the least bit, because you believe there's a God because you're here. But, you know, when I go to work, I talk to people that have this view. So this view is crazy to us. Yeah, except, you know, by the way, Christians who focus their lives on earning more money and more stuff and getting the next thing, and I can't wait for retirement, and when I can just veg and go on all the trips I want and stuff and things. And that really is kind of a practical materialist. So just a thought to think about. But if we understand that there is no God, but we blur the separation of the creation versus the creator, if we understand there is a God, but the universe, it's all kind of wrapped up together. Really? People believe that? Well, okay, if it's all that is or all that becomes, it's all God. People really believe that? Yeah, you know, a lot of Eastern religions and plenty of others talk about how individuals should become one with the universe and strive for this unity and harmony. And we would label that as pantheism, just God and the universe. And if everything becomes God, small g, then the God we know really has a whole bunch of issues with his character, right? He'd be ever-changing. Our God isn't ever-changing. He wouldn't be holy. To be holy, to be set apart, all throughout Scripture, God is holy. And you know, evil would just be another part of God. And heck no. But that's another, if we get that wrong. So what about if we acknowledge the right elements, the fact that there's God and there's creation or the universe, but we lack a tie between the two? And we say that God and creation coexist together, and they've always existed eternally. Well, then God's kind of on his path and creation's on its path, and there really are just two forces, right? No. But the struggle between the two forces and who will win, that does make for a great movie. And there certainly is struggle in this world short term. Yes. But we read our Bible and we know who wins. So this kind of thought really is a dualism. That, okay, there's just God, there's creation. Now, sometimes people, when they really wake up to the fact that there is God, they will often say, hey, there is spiritual and there is supernatural forces at play. You know, there's the visible, there's the invisible. Maybe this is a good model. But again, it lacks what the Bible talks about, the relationship that God has with his creation. And so this is a whole lot closer, but you know what? And Satan's really happy with close enough, but not really the truth. That's like, no, this is not, this dualism is not what the Bible teaches. And if we understand creation is distinct from God, and we know that there's this pecking order, we know that God's transcendent, but we ignore that God's immanent. We ignore that God's connected. We really just have that, you know what? God's not involved with creation. He's not involved with us other than, maybe a final judgment. A lot of folks would believe that and would understand that and have different definitions for God. But really, if God is not connected to creation, that's what we're trying to focus on, this would be really a deism perspective. So, and the whole idea that, like, God is a divine clockmaker and he just wound it all up and let it go. And this certainly is what we would see with, oh, hey, yeah, the Big Bang. God wound it all up and let it go. He's responsible for it, but he's not really involved with us. But it totally ignores the accounts in Scripture of his involvement with us. So, totally ignores that. And that would be a deism. We need to really understand not only the pecking order, but the character of God. And so, yeah, I know I keep repeating this stuff, but sometimes you got to repeat stuff to drill it home for some of us. God is transcendent, and creation is distinct from God, that maker of, ruler of. Yet, God is immanent. God is connected, and we are dependent on him. And the biblical accounts remind us, and they really make sure that we realize there's that connection. God is involved with us. And now, sure, we all agree that God's creator. But again, we look in the Bible and see all those different attributes, right? God's the sustainer, the provider, our defender, our justifier, our counselor, our redeemer. And that's only to name just a few, right? How many more? We're talking about attributes of God. There's just so many, so many more. So, hopefully, a simple little diagram that Dan said a couple too many times can stick with you, and then you can recognize when you see, oh yeah, that's broken there in this person's idea and theology and their perspective. That's off. So we started a little while ago talking about God created the entire universe out of nothing. We read lots. It was originally very good. And he created it to glorify himself. So we didn't really explore that very much. So we are going to go back to a couple, reading a few verses, because, man, I like reading verses, because that way I'm positive what's being said is right. So, Sarah, or you can nudge the person next to you. Can you read that for us? All right.
Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed,
everyone's called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Yeah, for his glory. is it only mankind that brings God glory?
No.
Nope. But we certainly know it. We actually have read a few verses. Oh yeah, I can walk. I forgot I can walk. Hey Scott, you want to read that one?
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork.
So yet another verse that shows us not just people. The heavens, the sky proclaim His glory. So does nature declare and proclaim God's glory because it was created? Or just because it does?
Both.
I can go with that one too. Both. I yeah. All right, Dave, how's your vision?
Better than his hearing.
Not that good? Evidently. Yeah, I was looking at Racy, but you know, he said no, he would love for someone to read that.
Yes, I will. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
How those are some great acts.
So we're created, He created all things, and by God's will they existed and were created. By the will, and we're looking at glorifying to God. So have you ever created anything just to create? We're image bearers, right? We read that. We're image bearers of God. Do we ever just, okay, and I don't create a song or a recipe, but I might build something. I'm in the middle of building a mantle. Just part of the reason you do it is because you can. And, you know, God did it not because He needed extra glory. It wasn't like, you know, God needed extra glory, so all right, look here, let's create creation. Let's make that. But it's in the making of stuff that there is glory. Who can compare to God? Jeremiah 10. Don't learn. Learn not the ways of the nations. For the customs of the people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. But the idols they create, they can't speak. They have to be carried, for they can't walk. Don't be afraid of them, for they can't do evil. Neither is it in them to do good. But just a little bit further down, it talks about, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. So yeah, He created just to glorify Himself. Except we skipped over that middle phrase in the doctrinal statement. It was originally very good, right? We all kind of remember this, know this. Nah, he looked down. Ruth.
Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
And for all those that remember Genesis, the beginning, right? It was good. God said it was good how many times in Genesis, even one? How many days? I'll give you a clue. 6 days he said it was good, and then he said it was very good. Okay. So it was originally very good. If everything was created to show his glory, why doesn't it? Does everything really show his glory right now? Sin. And let's take a look at Genesis 3:17.
Genesis 3:17, and to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you.
So part of Adam's, when God was cursing Adam because of his sin, was also, hey knucklehead, cursed is the ground because of you. He used to be an awesome gardener and everything was good. But now, because of Adam's sin, the thorns and thistles. So, sin's in our world now. Does that mean that all of the material world, creation, is evil? Is it good? God created the world.
It just shows his sovereignty. Regardless of the fall of man, he still uses everything for his glory and his good.
Yep. So, is the material world fundamentally evil? God created it. 1 Timothy 4.
For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. If it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God of prayer.
God created the world. We shouldn't think of the world as evil. Yes, sin did impact it, but if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer, we shouldn't think of the world as evil and rotten. But some of creation is bad, right? You know, like riches? That's evil, right? Riches are evil, right? I mean, hey, 1 Timothy 6 talks about evil. So, Roger, why don't you read that?
But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs.
So yeah, is there an element of creation that's evil? Well, the love of money is evil. And just further on in this passage, in 1 Timothy 6, it goes on that also kind of balances that out. Karen, why don't you read that?
1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy.
So in the same passage, but a little bit further down, Who provides the riches?
The Lord.
Oh, yeah. And it even says he provides us with things to enjoy. You know, like his creation. Yeah, creation is not fundamentally evil. It's impacted by stupid people's sin. Adam's sin and the rest of us who continue just like Adam did. But yeah, creation was fundamentally created originally good. In the book, and I encourage you all to read it, but I did not. It also, there's a fair section that talks about the relationship between Scripture and the findings of modern science. You could easily go into lots of stuff about that, but man, I encourage everybody to go down to the Creation Museum, go see the Ark, and not even trying to say, hey, do we need to balance Scripture and modern science? Heck no. We hold Scripture. Now, are they fighting? No. Book mentions that down through history, we've thought that science was at odds with Scripture, and it gave a number of examples where, okay, but then later on, we see some of the synergies. One of the quotes that I liked in that section, they said, hey, you know what? When all the facts are rightly understood, there will be no final conflict between Scripture and natural science.
That's right.
And another thing it mentions is that some theories about creation are clearly inconsistent with the teaching of Scripture, and we need to focus on what Scripture teaches and not worry about what science is telling us right now. Anything that, right, the origins other than God, anything denying intelligent design, anything that's got a type of theistic evolution, where oftentimes theistic evolution, you know, God made the Big Bang, he kicked it off, and then any time that, you know, evolutionary theory kind of has a problem, a hiccup, they sprinkle a little God in there and say, oh, well, yeah, God intervened in that. And actually, I was at a church for a little bit, and I had a Sunday school teacher that was trying to explain this, and it was like, yeah. I didn't attend there many more weeks, but yeah, it was like, yeah, this is kind of crazy.
Here's this really great Bodhi Bakum clip. Yeah. Ben Shapiro, I don't like a lot of debate stuff, but I came across by Pete, where he throws out the Big Bang Theory to him, and he does it in a very prideful way, and Bodhi sits there, and then he goes, well, first of all, I'm going to have you get off your moral high horse, because have you ever seen a Big Bang Theory? And he's like, no, and he's like, well, I've never seen the creation, but we believe in it. And it's just this cool clip.
If
you want to see it.
Yeah. There's so much good stuff out there on that study. And certainly I do encourage you to look at clips like that, because I still run into my fellow engineers who are very, science is king, science is their God. Then, you know, you need to know how to talk with folks about this. But if you remember nothing else, God created the entire universe out of nothing, and it was originally very good. He created it to glorify himself. We've flipped through close to 30 verses about that, and we've got a whole Bible filled with that. So, always the important question, so like, what do we do with this information? Yeah, we all knew that, Dan. Well, you know what? Just a couple thoughts of application. God created the material universe good, and we can use it and see how it points back to him and his nature, his character, his goodness. We shouldn't be afraid of science, and we should be involved in its proper understanding with respect to God's creation. We should enjoy creation and be reminded of the glimpses of God's character. Yeah, it's kind of a repeat, but... And remember, we're image bearers, and we have joy and creative ability that God has allowed us to participate in. So, all of this, why are we taking a look at it? Well, because right theology helps us to understand God better. And hopefully, the simple little diagrams don't care whether you can label the different aspects of wrongness, but you understand what's right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your creation, your love for us, your word that you give us to allow us to understand. Help us to be prepared to interact with people that don't understand these things or don't believe these things, that we can share with them about you and your creation and your love for them. Help us to reach the world that you put in our paths, the individuals that maybe we're the only Christian that they have to speak into their lives. Help us go and do that today. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.